Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Blue Surge Podcast. As one of your co-hosts, Mike, alongside Joe, ready to have an awesome show for you all today. Joe, how you doing today, bud?
Doing all right. Trying to play through Sword right now, and had to take a break because of the podcast. So,
yeah, Joe was a little cranky at me that we have responsibilities.
Yeah, we got a time limit here, 15 minutes, right?
Yeah, 15-minute podcast. Joe is just salty because I was unhealthily completing the entire Pokedex. By the time this goes live, it'll be a week later from the game's release. I did complete the Pokedex Monday afternoon after the game's release, so it took me about 3.5 days. I really, 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 really like shiny hunting, so I kind of wanted to get that out of the way before my schedule got pretty busy.
Did you happen to be able to poop or sleep at all?
You can multitask.
That's right. It's portable.
Aha. There you go. Now you're thinking.
Ew.
All right. Let's move on from that. So, Joe, you've been playing Sword. I have also been playing Sword. I assume most, if not all, of our listeners have been enjoying Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. If you have not played the game yet, I know this isn't a video game podcast, but I will say, as a loyal fan of the series, it is my favorite game to date. So if you were on the fence about buying the game because of stuff like the Pokedex or, I don't know, maybe some other unknowns, we won't get into any of that. All I can say is please play this game. If you like Pokemon and you have ever been a fan of the franchise, I don't care if it was Black and White, I don't care if it was Heart Gold, Soul Silver, Gen 3, Gen 2, whatever was your favorite at the last point, Gen 1, you need to play this game. That's my personal opinion. And I assume most people playing the game would agree with me.
And without these games, we would not have Pokemon cards.
That is true. You know, fair point. They both keep each other, you know, in balance, and I think that's very important. We have a pretty good show ready for you today. It's all going to be focused on LAIC, the Latin American International Championship, happened over the weekend in Brazil. It was an awesome event to watch. I was multitasking again, as I said, between Sword and Shield and watching the event when I could. Overall, it was a super cool event to watch. I got a chance to peer in and out of every round and really kind of got an idea for what the meta is actually looking like and kind of what we're going to be looking at going forward. This is a big meta change, which is why the whole podcast will be focused on it. And hopefully we will be able to shape for all of the listeners what the meta could look like going forward. It's not totally defined, but we do have a pretty decent hold on what it's going to look like. I think that's fair to say. I think we should start where it's easiest to start, which is just the outcome of the actual tournament. If you did not watch the tournament, there was about 700, 800 players, about closer to 700 of Masters from all over the world. The awesome part about these international championships is, depending on where it is in the world, you see more representation from that side or that corner of the world, and it really kind of shows off some talent that maybe otherwise wouldn't be. So I think it's pretty awesome to see. Our top eight goes as follows. I'm going to go from the bottom up. In eighth place, we had Matthew Burris playing a Mewtwo deck. In seventh place, we had Victor Vieira, I believe that's how you pronounce it, with ADP, Arceus Dialga-Palkia. Sixth place, Gustavo Wada, which is not a new name for us, played Giratina Garchomp, which is the only list that we don't have, which is a bummer, unless it's somewhere else on the internet. In fifth place, we had Andre Scubal playing Florges Clefairy Doll, so Florges Substitute. Fourth place, we had Lucas Gusso playing Blacephalon Naganadel. Sorry, I had a brain fart for a moment. Third place, we had Giovanni Piragallo playing Arceus Dialga-Palkia with Keldeo. Second place, we had Brian DeVries with a Mewtwo tag team. And in first place, Robin Schultz with Reshiram Charizard. Reshiram Charizard did end up taking everything here. And before I break everything down, Joe, what was your opinion on kind of what you saw and what you heard about?
I'm seeing a lot more. Stall is not really right the word. So there's stall and lock. I've been seeing a lot of lock. And lock I don't like either. It's kind of hard to say what's worse, stall or locking. Locking is an infinite loop where you're just stuck. Where stall, you just hope that they run out of cards at some point.
Right.
Now a stall can lock eventually. But
I mean, I think most stalls do have some level of locking.
Yeah, but it just seems like with the Floor Dice Cleffa, right?
Clefairy doll.
Clefairy doll. But even though they have, no, it's Munchlax that puts it back on that. Munchlax got that. And then Pidgeotto control. At a certain point, it just locks in some kind of stronghold where it, as I mentioned before, everyone knows my distaste for stall decks and locks and things like that. It's fun. It's not fun for anybody. You feel like a jerk playing it, and then you just, person who's playing it just doesn't feel like playing. Honestly, if I ever see a Pidgeotto control just pop up against me at all, I'll just scoop and just give him the game because I don't want to sit through 30 minutes of torture. There's no point. I'm not playing the card game then. I mean, in terms of like, if I'm playing against a control like that, I'm literally not playing a card game. I'm just sitting there and letting my opponent just harass me for a half hour.
Now, is this assuming you're at a regional?
Regional, League Cup, Challenge, I don't care. It's not going to be fun for me, so.
I get that. I think a lot of it, sadly, comes down to preparation. It's not fun to play those decks, but if you're someone who's looking to be successful, you kind of have to be, you have to be able to handle it, you know? You just kind of have to. Because again, I'm of the taste that I know that stall is not looked upon as something that everyone loves, but again, at the end of the day, it's an archetype. So with that being said, we have to respect that to some degree.
Yeah. But it's getting to the point now, like even the juniors finals, there was a Pidgeotto control. Granted, didn't win. Because the player who played ADP did a pretty good job of playing around it, but still, like it's trickling down the system.
It's
kind of disgusting. It's disgusting.
It's, I don't know. I don't know if disgusting is the word I would use, just because of, again, with the way card games work, this type of deck always does exist and always will. It's, you put a gun to someone's head and say, win the regional, get points. I can't argue with you if you say that you believe Pidgeotto control is the best option. You know, and I'm not saying it is, because it wasn't. It did not win. It obviously did not win the international. Out of the top eight, there was not a single Pidgeotto deck. Now, 9 through 11 were, but we didn't see it.
Well, not 9 was Pidgeotto Blacephalon. That's totally different.
But it is different. You're right. And the only, I guess the only stall deck, if we're trying to say strictly stall, because I'm not counting the Keldeo deck as stall. Not yet, at least.
No, because there's ways around it. It's easier.
It was the Florida's deck, if anything.
Yeah.
And that looks like a deck that is actually pretty difficult to run well, I think.
And a lot of it do rely on coin flips. So if your coin flips are going bad, you're just not going to make them. But
right. And if you don't know what Floor just does, Floor just has an ability that states once during your turn, you may flip a coin of heads, put an item card from your discard pile on top of your deck. This is also played in combination with obviously Jirachi, because Jirachi can instantly fetch the item. And we have Munchlax with Snack Search. Once during your turn, you may flip a coin. If heads, put a card from your discard pile on top of your deck. If you use this ability, your turn ends. This is also played with a Spirit Tomb, which I imagine is just a decent attacker. It's played with Mew and one copy of Latias GX. I mean, the goal really is to play your opponent out of the game. This is a stall deck. This is not a lock. This is fully stall. It plays Belaba and Bryson Man, that mill tag team card. So it is a stall deck in every sense of the word. What do you think of the list? I think the list is cool. It is stall, but I think it is a cool list.
It exists, and that's as far as I want to go.
Fair enough. I don't think it's going to end up being popular. I think it might be played for a little bit, but at the end of the day, there are some gimmicky things, and I think you have to be a very patient player to play this, different than Pidgeotto and Oranguru. So I think there's different setups here for the most part. Were there any decks that you liked in the top eight that you were happy to look at, or lists that you thought were cool to look at?
Yeah, it was interesting to see the updated fire decks. I'm happy to see basically the ADPs come out and figure out how they work and function finally at a meta level. I'm completely surprised to see Blacephalon Pidgeotto, two of them, almost make it in the top eight.
Right.
I think they just bubbled out. I'm happy to see Naganadel Guzzlord, either Costa and Jimmy Pendarvis play those. I was happy to see that being played because I think they're a really cool looking deck. Yeah. Assuming the meta is controlled full of tag team GXs.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can take four prizes and then take two prizes on his GX attack. So, other than that, more expected stuff like Malamar Giratina, you see some here and there, some Blacephalon GXs. I think there was a couple like Charizard breaks and control type decks. I didn't watch much of it, but the games I kind of caught glimpses of, I thought there would be a lot more heavy counts of reset stamp than there actually right. was.
You did talk about that, yeah.
Because when I watched the SPE a couple weeks ago or about a month or two ago, it was playing heavy reset stamp, no matter who you were.
Yeah, it kind of changes, you know.
But I'm interested in that call that you had, though, where Pikaram is basically disappearing.
It was 3% in the top 88.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think there's two decks in there.
Yeah, Pikaram. The nearest Pikaram.
43rd.
Okay, so they have 43rd. I mean, so if you want the breakdown, if you couldn't catch the event, the breakdown of top 88, which you assume is day two, the highest played deck was Arceus Dialga Palkia at 26%. So over a quarter, just over a quarter of the players played a variation of the new tag team. 20% played Mewtwo in some respect, the tag team card. 10% was playing Pidgey Control. 7% was playing Ability Zard. You had 5% playing Pidgeotto Blacephalon, and then from there, Gardy, Malamar, they call it Doll Stall, that's the Florges deck. They were all anywhere from 2 to 5%. So really, if we're going in the meta going forward, ADP is the most popular deck. I personally, obviously, from what I said last week and the weeks before, I'm super excited to see that card doing well because I'm a big fan of the card and the way it works. Mewtwo, we expect to be there. My expectation going forward is that this will not change the amount of Reshazards that are played. I don't think Reshazard winning this will result in Reshazard returning to its like ultimate kingdom. Obviously, it got Megalopunny Jigglypuff, which most decks played. They had tag teams. And that card, you know what? I've underplayed that card, and I've always had the feeling that there's a chance that I could look like an idiot for doing that, and clearly I am. It played really well over the weekend, and I think it splashed well in all the decks. I just don't know if... I still don't think Reshazard's going to be there. I think Reshazard won for a couple reasons. One, it won because with a new meta, Robin basically took a deck that was pretty much guaranteed to do what it was supposed to do. You know, it's a pretty simple list. He came in and went, all right, I got my Ninetales. I got my Turtonator, my Victini, my Heatran. Got my Dedenes, my Jirachis. He did add a Zebstrika, which I think is a stall counter. Having Zebstrika allows you to get out of some stall. And he went from there, you know, had a Palpad, some recovery to, again, he assumed he was going to go against some level of stall. And I think the other part is you get a guy like Robin Schultz playing the deck. Is that fair? I mean, I think a big part of the reason that he won was because it's him.
Oh, he's a fantastic player.
Yeah, he and I believe he historically has done really well at this specific event. I know last year he got top 15. He got like 12th place or something. And that was like literally almost a day from the exact time. And I believe the year before and the year before that, he day two'd in this event. So this is not something that I'm looking right now. So in 2017, he got 10th place at this event. In 2018, he got 17th place. 2018, 2019, he got 12th place. And then this year he won. So statistically, this dude has been crushing this event. And I think as a high level pro, I don't know. I kind of looked at it as not a fluke, but this is a dude who's one of the best at the card game. He competes highly in Worlds every year. And he picked a deck that's inherently strong and he crushed it. I don't know if there's much else to it. I mean, what else is there here to unpack with Reshazard?
Not much. I think Welder plays a big part in the whole thing. And obviously, Welder's a fantastic card. I'm just shocked to see, the number between Reshazard's played versus Pikaram's are not that much different. Maybe,
it was like 5 or 6%.
Five player difference.
That's actually not true. Sorry. It was about 10% was Reshazard when you put the abilities together, or the ability versus greens, and then it was about 3% Pikaram. So it was like a 7% difference.
But you had a decent more Reshazards than you said. We only had two Pikarams for day two. So it's just shocking to see that draw out or just basically die out of nowhere. And Reshazard took that supreme spot for the early, quote unquote, early tag team GX decks.
Yeah, I just think that it was a combination of pro and strong deck. And I just don't think this is going to change the number. You know what I mean? We're not going to see Reshazard spike back up again. You have Mewtwo still. And if you break it down by the amount of people that played, I believe this is just, it might just be day two, but we're looking at another set of data for deck lists. Out of all of the juniors, seniors, masters, ADP was the highest. Mewtwo was the highest. Gardevoir was actually, I guess, pretty highly played in the tournament overall. It obviously didn't do well. Malamar was also very highly played. Those two decks were played more than Pidgeotto Control. They were played more than Reshazard. And so one dude played Naganadel GX. Or Naganadel Rayquaza GX. Good for him. We have a Magnezone deck, a Chandelure deck. We got some fun stuff on here.
That Charizard deck did make day two.
Oh, true. It did. There were a couple really cool lists. If you're looking to be competitive and play something that's new, my recommendation would be to either go with Arceus, Dialga, Palkia, and Keldeo and take a look at these lists because they do vary in difference. And I would probably recommend, if you're looking for something fun, play, like you said, Naga Guzzlord GX and Miss Magius it up, dude. It plays 4-4 Miss Magius, the Duskstone engine, and you're just trying to B-string and go crazy. Sweet, why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah, in terms of prices-wise, Arceus, Dialga, Palkia, that deck probably start spiking up a little bit more, which I do have prices on a lot of the stuff I would call from the meta area. But probably of the decks that from the top 20 that did pretty well, that probably, honestly, the Florgeist Polkadot one would probably be really cheap to do, but a lot of work to play. If you're looking for a deck that is not as difficult but very, very effective, especially for a new player, Baby Blacephalon Pidgeotto is probably your best bet as the cheapest option. Pidgeotto's are $1, and so are Blacephalons. The most expensive part are honestly going to be your Jirachis and Victinis. Jirachis are still at $12 to $15, depending what type you're getting, whether it be the promo, the deck special one, or the regular holo. And Victini Prism Star actually went up a little bit. I think it's at $7 a piece now.
That's a strong card. You know, that's proven to be very, very strong, I think.
But other than that, you have Precious Elms Lecture, which is pretty on the cheaper side. Welder has been pulled out left and right, easier to get. Poke Gear is not bad. Fire Crystals aren't bad to get. Fiery Flints are a couple of dollars, but those who are interested in playing, just hold tight. We are getting league promos of Fiery Flint, Acrobike, and a skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be more accessible and more affordable. Lily Poke Dolls are cheap. Great Catchers are $1 a piece. Skateboard, like I told you, is going to come as a promo, but they're cheap right now anyways. Ultra Space and Heat Factory, it's a pretty cheap deck. You're probably spending no more than... If you actually buy every single card on this list, it probably costs you maybe... three Jirachis at $15 a piece, so... 45, just say $60 tops.
Which is not bad at all.
No. Especially for a card game.
Yeah, honestly, that's super affordable. Super affordable.
If you got a lot of throw money to cash around, you can definitely look into things like ADP, where I think last week was like $7 or $8, and now they are $12 to
$15. Mm-hmm.
Megalopony Jigglypuff for like $6 to $7. And then, like, you have your Mewtwo boxes. So, like, see, a Baby Turtner from Dragon's Majesty, which is played in it. Oh, no, not that one. But it's in a fire deck. It's $3.50 to $4. Greninja GX promo, $10. Solgaleo GX promo, $25. Like, you're going to ring up a huge bill if you play those top meta decks. You can do just fine with the Baby Blacephalon.
Totally. You can kill it with that. You can totally kill it. I think the insight you just gave her... It's really, really good, and I hope you find something that you like to play. I think this is, again, an interesting meta, and I'm overall content with it. Really, I am. Understanding that stall and control exist, and we say this every single podcast, so it doesn't make a difference. There's always going to be the big beaters. There's always going to be the stall decks. You kind of find your place in between that, and I think having Blacephalon Pidgeotto and the Ganondorf Guzzlord tag team, there's some fun stuff out there. That kind of wraps it up for LAIC. I think that kind of sums it up well, would you say?
Yeah, that's pretty good stuff, too. I was going to mention yesterday, we had our league yesterday, our mini tournament, and also for cheaper decks. I played Nuzzle with the Raichu, the new Nuzzle thing. Technically, I went 2-1. We had a misunderstanding on one game that maybe we would go 3-0, but it's not that big of a deal of what happened. But it was a decent deck. It was a lot of fun to play. So even cheap decks can be fun and effective.
That's sweet. I love it. And, you know, we hope, again, that you find something, and we'll talk about more in the coming weeks. Speaking of new cards, we do have a couple more things to talk about before we head out of here. The first thing, I think, is a smaller news. It's newer than the stuff we're going to talk about in a moment, but it's still something that we should say quickly because it does involve Sword and Shield cards. We will be getting promos for Grookey, Scorbunny, and Sobble. These are the promos that have the other two starters in the photo along with the card being the Pokemon being featured. So if you get a Grookey card, you'll see Sobble and Scorbunny and so on. There's some really cool Zacian and Zamazenta sleeves. Card boxes. These are going to be in Japan, unfortunately. Hopefully they come our way, but we will be having those promos. Not much really to say there. It's your basic one energy, do a thing, flip a tail, flip tails, don't do a thing card. Nothing too crazy. On the other hand, though, we did get a group of cards that are going to be our promos for the second quarter. And this is something that kind of skipped my mind just because of how, you know, how busy it is during this time here in the tournaments. The second quarter for League Cups and League Challenges and so on, we are getting some really nice promos. These are probably the best group of promos I've seen. The mat is Blastoise Piplup, which looks awesome, right, Joe?
Oh, it looks beautiful. I wish I can just buy one because I know I probably won't win one.
That's the spirit.
Well, I mean, I'll win one and do my best. Yeah.
Anything is possible if you love your Pokemon. Isn't that what you said before?
Yes, I will play Nuzzle Pikachu Raichu deck and win a mat.
If you are in a League Challenge, you will be receiving a Professor Elm's Lecture promo card with a first through fourth, depending on what you want. This art is very nice. It features Professor Elm with Pichu, Togepi, and Munchlax. It's a very nice card art. If you haven't gotten a chance to look at it, I recommend you do so. It's a really nice looking card. The important stuff, though, these are the easiest cards to get as well. Oh, sorry. I should also mention all competitors do get a Cherish Ball promo for League Cups. So that's important. I should say that first. So not only you get one just for participating, which is pretty awesome.
I always like participation awards.
You know what? To a degree, they're nice. You know what?
I wish you get a participation mat with Blastoise and Piplup on it.
Yeah, here's a $30 mat just for trying. I don't know if it works like that. Maybe one day. If you ask really nicely,
it does.
Let's just ask Brian super nicely.
Maybe.
Maybe one day. For the Pokemon League, we have some really, really good promos. If you are someone that is newer to the game or doesn't have the staples that we are about to say, get off your butt and go to a Pokemon League over the weekend. Do it. I don't care if you work. I don't care if you work during the week and you're tired. I don't care if there's leaves all over your backyard. I don't care if you're hungry, whatever it is. You need to get these cards. You need to, you need to, you need to. And if you already have these cards, I don't know. I think there's no reason you shouldn't still try to get these promos. The first one is Acrobike. The second one is a skateboard. And the third one is Fiery Flint. These three cards are essential. Anybody that is trying to play the card game at a competitive level or a casual level, the arts are phenomenal, dude. I mean, come on. Are these not like the best collection of promos that you've seen?
Oh, they're beautiful. Not to mention, too, you're getting them for free if you just show up. I mean, it's a fantastic deal, especially with Acrobikes right now. They're like at $1.75 a piece.
And you're just getting them.
Fiery just for saying
Flint,
hi.
You're just getting them. As skateboards, you're just getting them. And yeah, sure, maybe you play $5. You go, you get your pack, you do some stuff, and you just get what you need. It's easy. It's simple. It's easy. And these are all great cards. If for some reason you're under a rock and don't know what these cards do, Acrobike is look at the top two cards from your deck and put one in your hand, one on the discard. A skateboard is the retreat cost of the Pokemon this card is attached to is one less. Even if it's asleep or paralyzed, it can retreat. In Fiery Flint, you discard two cards from your hand and search for up to four fire energies. So that Blacephalon list that Joe was talking about earlier, Blacephalon Pidgeotto, I would recommend in January when these are going to be passed out at leagues every week, you get one per week, you should be able to get these cards and add it to the deck. So
save yourself $12 right there, $3 a piece.
Yeah, it's a $3 card, man.
For free.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, man.
Pokemon's killing it again with these promos.
Mm-hmm.
They used to be so bad when I first started out playing again.
They had some terrible ones, or it was like rotating or whatever it would be. And this one, it's like, hey, here's some cards that you really need.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like
back we had, was it like, well, was it Regigigas one of the promos one time? No, we had Celesteela was a promo.
Mm-hmm.
What? Who Who plays like, Celesteela?
That you'll never, ever play, ever. I don't know. It's silly. You know, it. Again, get to these. You need to get there. And really, I don't see why not. There's probably not even much else to say after that. Looking back on the show, you got to look at the meta. You got to look at the top decks. And you got to look at what to look forward to moving forward. I think that pretty much wraps it up for us. It's a shorter episode this week, which again is totally okay because I think the information we provided is of a high level. I think it is useful information, especially if you missed the tournament over the weekend. So hopefully you all enjoyed that.
But just before we leave, though, I do want to review some of the prices that we did talk about a few weeks ago.
Should do that.
So ever since the meta this weekend, there has been price changes. So I know we talked a little bit earlier about some of the price changes, but here's some of the more important ones. Mallow and Lana are as low as $4, but more averaging between $5 and $7. So they are on the up and up. And I don't see them going down anytime soon because it still works for even V cards when you switch things out and heal things. Caitlyn and Cynthia is between, I've seen as low as $3.50 to $5. Nagana Dog Guzzlord went up a little bit to $9 to $10. ADP we already talked about, $12 to $15. Mega Low Pony Jigglypuff stabilized at $6 and $7, so that didn't really go anywhere. Silver Valley GX still staying the same. Rosa's up a little bit between $5 to $6 a piece. Reshiram Zekrom did dip down $13 to $15 a piece on average right now. So I was actually surprised not to see as many as I thought there'd be more of these at the tournament this weekend.
Right.
But it never showed up.
It really didn't. It didn't really make that much of a mark.
No, I'm actually a little bit surprised.
It was too much of a high roll.
Probably was. Meta prices. So I did set aside some time to look at the meta cards. Caldeo GX spiked tremendously. $16.50 to $20 a piece now.
Yeesh.
Was it like a $5 card a couple months ago? Like a month or two ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big Timmy Prism I mentioned earlier today, earlier in the podcast, $7. Turtonator from Dragon's Majesty, $3.50 to $4. Mentioned earlier already, Greninja GX Promo, Salgaleo, $10 for Greninja, $25 for Salgaleo.
Mm-hmm.
Espeon Deoxys, $7. Dedenne still stabilizing at $30. Custom Catchers are still between $6 to $7. Gardevoir Sylveon's $10. And then, just for fun, the Gondel, Guzzlord, Full Arts, and Raybulls are about $12 a piece and up. And then buy them. I think that'd be really cool. And then I think I'm going to jump on this next one. This is just for fun. I found out Martial Arts Dojo Full Art. Mike, how much do you think they cost a piece?
Okay, well, if you're going to buy them, 18?
Oh, no.
What are they?
Go lower.
12?
Lower.
8?
Lower.
No way. The full art, are they like $6?
I found them for $7 a piece just about.
That's crazy.
I might just buy 4 for fun because who knows what's going to happen in about a few months when new Pokemon come out. And actually, Mike, are there any big Pokemon that have fighting types coming out in Sword and Shield at all?
There's a few, but I don't know what the cards would be. So there's a potential. There is some somewhere.
Okay. So I'm actually might just jump on a 4 of these just to have them for the future for who knows what happens in Sword and Shield block and stuff.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to wait and see. And now I think that wraps up our show, correct?
Correct.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll have some new news for you next week, and we can't wait to share it with you. Have a great weekend, guys. We'll see you next time.